We're going to take a look at America and the landscape. Of course, America, as we know, is a country of historic change, of change constantly happening over the country's history. But demographers say change in the future is coming a bit faster than they'd thought. The U.S. Census Bureau announced this week that by 2042, minorities will be the majority. So what will the country look like, act like? How will this change who we are? Pulitzer Prize winner Dale Maharidge has a few ideas. He's the author of The Coming White Minority and other books focused on cultural change. Good morning, Dale, who's joining us from California, a state that's already living that notion of minorities as the new majority.
Yes, in 1998, California passed the threshold into white minority, and the state's about 45% minority, white now, and the rest 55% minority.
So what does that tell us about what the country, the rest of the country is in for?
Well, like so much of the rest of the other issues, California is leading the nation in this area. I saw the change coming in 1991 after the L.A. riots. I came back to California from New York City where I was teaching, and I spent 9 years on this book. I looked at the change through four different families in California. And, of course, some of your listeners may remember there was a backlash against non-whites in the 1990s. There were a series of initiatives against immigrants, bilingual education, and affirmative action. I called it a white electoral riot at the ballot box. And it's a different state now. That was sort of the last gasp of people who were afraid of this change. The state is now, as I said, 45% white. It's amazingly much more multicultural. Among younger people who've grown up with different cultures, there's a whole lot more acceptance. And after that 9 years of research, I concluded the book by saying basically that so much is working in California. We hear when things don't work, but so much is working. And as I've noted, people are voting with their feet down the marriage aisle. When I finished the book in 1999, there were, when it came out in the 2000 edition, there were 20% of all births were interracial. So people are dating, they're marrying, they're working together. Every day things work in California. It's not the apocalypse.
And let's get to that notion of the apocalypse. You say that media coverage talks about this demographic change in a very shallow manner. What are we missing in the media?
Well, I always tell my students, go out and talk to real people. There was a study done during the anti-bilingual ballot initiative. 186 stories in the major California papers, only two stories actually went into a bilingual classroom. You should stop talking to pundits like me and go out and talk to people. And you'll find that, you know, that's where you find the truth of all what's going on, not in talking heads inside the Beltway.
This is Catherine Landfer. Dale, go back for a minute. We were talking about that last gasp of sort of white fright. What does that portend then for when the nation as a whole reaches a minority majority? How much of that will we see again?
Well, I was curious. My latest book is called Dennis in Iowa. It's a rather silly title for a very important book about cultural change in the heartland. I went and lived in a small Iowa town, Dennis in Iowa, for 1 year. It was 8,000 residents. About one-third of them were Latino. 10 years before, there were no Latinos in that town. And I documented that cultural change on a very small scale in a place where they're not used to it. And you know what? It was a microcosm of California. A lot was working. There was frictions, of course. There was racism, yes. But all in all, there was incredible acceptance.
And what do you attribute that to?
Look, I think when you get close to quote-unquote other, you realize we all want the same things. We want good schools. We want jobs. The racial barrier, I don't know, your listeners who work with other races in an office, you have to be hard-pressed. Like if you ask me who my co-workers, what their races are, I don't think of them that way anymore. It becomes second nature when you're close to other people. So in places like Vermont, where you know it's tremendously still white, and parts of the South are just in the black-white dynamic still, it seems bizarre and foreign and scary. And I understand why people are scared. You know, it's new and it's different. When I moved to California in 1980, I was moving into the polyglot, and I wasn't sure what to expect. So it's not unheard of, but I think as people live it, they realize we're just people.
Sure.
Dale, we have John Zogby standing by. He is the pollster and the author of The Way Will Be, the Zogby Report on the Transformation of the American Dream. He's joining us from Utica, New York. John, you have come up with these new populations, these four different archetypes for the American population. Given this discussion we're having on the new census figures, we're going to have a large number of elderly. We're going to have a minority majority. Mm-hmm. How, given this conversation we're just having, how do you see your population types intersecting here?
Well, interestingly, that generation of elderly that we're talking about in 2040, 2050 or so, are in many instances going to be today's first globals, today's 18 to 29-year-olds who are already accustomed to living in a diverse world, in their communities, from their schools, and on their planet. And so they will bring that more cosmopolitan and accepting worldview into their old age. Subsequent groups that come up are only going to be living in a more diverse world, and diversity, multiculturalism actually works. Now, for those who...
And do you say that, John, based on your experience of these decades worth of surveying?
Oh, absolutely. The numbers when it comes to attitudes and, more importantly, behaviors... the previous guest talked about walking with their feet, walking down the marriage aisle. 18 to 29-year-olds don't consider Barack Obama to be an African-American candidate for president. They consider him to be a candidate for president because he's like their school principal. He's like their supervisor at work. He is like their neighbor. They live and work in a much more diverse setting than previous age cohorts did.
And so, Dale, when we take a look, obviously it's impossible to predict the future. And there's also been some real discussion about how we define the various categories of race. For example, who is white? Who is Latino? Who is African American? Does any of that matter in terms of what the picture will look like and how we'll be treating one another?
On a human level, no. But on a political level, yes. At the turn of last century, in the early 1900s, Italians and Eastern European Jewish people were considered other and non-white, and they were folded into white as the century progressed. There's some who feel that Latino may get folded in the same way. I beg to differ. It's a different age. You don't have to, you can have your separate and still be part of the larger culture. There's a model I use in my book. It's like the Olympic rings where they intersect. That's the common ground where we all live, and we all go off into our little corners of whatever we define ourselves as a subset. But we're all in the same center area in the public sphere. And so politically, though, the numbers are very important. Some both on the left and right, for very, very different reasons, don't want to count race anymore. And I think it's very important that we have these categories until we do have an egalitarian society.
An egalitarian society, a utopia. Dale Maharaj, thank you so much for being with us.
Okay, thank you.
Dale Maharaj, author of The Coming White Minority and other books dealing with cultural and demographic change in America. And also John Zogby, thanks so much for hanging with us.
Thank you.
John Zogby, a pollster and author of The Way Will Be, the Zogby Report on the Transformation of the American Dream.
I'm Catherine Lanford, in for John Hockenberry. We're always on at The Takeaway, Facebook, Friend Feed, Twitter.
And here's today's takeaway.
And oddly enough, it's Masharif that's kind of been the bondo keeping this jalopy on the road.
That was RAND political scientist Christine Fair talking about the future of Pervez Musharraf, with reports saying that he may resign in the next 72 hours.
Wow. All right, if you've missed anything, make sure you go to mytake.org.
I'm Adora Udoji.
I'm Catherine Lanford.
The Takeaway is supported by the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, advancing journalistic excellence in the digital age. More information at knightfoundation.org. The Rockefeller Foundation and its campaign for American workers. More at rockfound.org. And by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. This is The Takeaway.
The
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.